Hey, everybody, I'm Eileen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how to respond to a modern-day Pharisee so that you don't react to their judgment and allow their words to dull your sparkle. You were created to shine. The light of Christ in you, you were created to shine. But oftentimes, words from modern-day Pharisees, well, they can be like stones thrown into our souls. And if we don't let Jesus treat the wound, those words can cause shame. Shame that causes us to hide our light instead of letting it shine. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, what do I mean by a modern-day Pharisee? Well, what I mean by that is that a modern-day Pharisee is somebody basically that is still operating out of an old covenant mentality. Now, the old covenant basically says this: I must earn God's love and acceptance. The new covenant says grace has earned it for me. But when we operate out of that old covenant mindset and we measure our worth and value based off of the way that we perform, and listen, the law, we can make a law out of anything, right? We can make a law out of how much we exercise or our looks or how much money we have or whatever it is. But whatever we're using to measure our worth and value, we will start to measure others that way. And that's what a Pharisee does. They measure and judge based off of outward performance. And modern-day Pharisees, make no mistake about it, they're still alive and well. And the truth is that all of us have the potential to fall away from grace and back under the law. And when we live under the law, it's very hard to receive love for ourselves. We can't receive that love for ourselves, right? Because if you're living to keep a law, you can't ever do it perfectly. And when you can't receive that law, when you can't receive love, well, you simply can't give it out to others. Our hearts become blinded. And the truth is that modern-day Pharisees are still inside of our church, and they still exist. And they still throw judgmental, critical words. And the question is not, can you get rid of Pharisees or can you find a church without Pharisees? The question is, how are you going to respond to that? And I want to challenge you today to respond in a new way and to never let a modern-day Pharisee steal your sparkle. All right, so let's dive right into our text today. If you've been following along on the Treasured Ministries podcast, and I hope that you have, and we're a new podcast. And so can I ask a favor? Will you tag your friends and say, hey, you better follow this podcast? That would be just wonderful. Word of mouth is the biggest way that we spread. And I would love for you to tell others about our podcast. All right, so if you've been following us, you know that we've been looking at different passages in the Bible where Jesus interacts with women. And today we're going to be inside of the 8th chapter of John and looking at the story of the woman caught in adultery. Now, if you've grown up a church girl, then you've probably heard this story many times before. I want to invite you, though, to look at it a little bit deeper, because we are going to be, when people read this story, they normally stop at verse 11. But we're going to be going a little bit further inside of this story to get the full picture. And what we want to concentrate and what we want to look at today is how this woman responded to Pharisees that were getting ready to stone her and how Jesus handled it. And from this, we're going to get a game plan together for when we face Pharisees ourselves. And the truth is, they're not hurling stones anymore, right? Like in the case of this story, but they're hurling judgmental, critical words. And I would love to tell you that words never bother me, that I just let everything roll off my back, but that wouldn't be exactly accurate. The truth is that words are powerful and words hurt. And if we can't get rid of Pharisees, and we can't change Pharisees, and we can't change judgmental, critical people, then we've got to learn a new game plan where we rely on what we can change, and that's ourselves. All right, so let's dive right into our story today. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and as he sat down, he taught them. Now, I want to pause right there because on into verse 20, we have a little bit more detail. In chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 20, it tells us that Jesus was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. The reason why that's significant, and I want to point out this detail, is because the treasury was actually located in the court of women. Jesus chose the location of where he was teaching because he wanted women to hear what he had to say. Jesus greatly valued women. See, this is huge. This is a huge detail. And the reason why this is huge is because back in Jesus's day, rabbis, teachers, never taught women. They did not teach women. In fact, if a rabbi saw a woman walking on the street, he would not even acknowledge her. And so this is huge. Jesus is ushering in the new covenant, and with that, things are changing, including the fact or the women's of how a woman should be viewed, in my not so humble opinion, right? And as you look in the Gospels, and as you look at these different interactions that Jesus had with women, a lot of times women will use this term of endearment, teacher, with Jesus. They will call him teacher. When Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene after he was resurrected, she says, Rabboni, which means teacher. When Martha and Mary were struggling with their grief over Lazarus, who had died, and Jesus came to them, Martha goes and gets her sister Mary, and she says, the teacher is here to see you. Jesus greatly valued women, and he taught them. He positioned himself to teach women. All right. Now, Jesus positions himself in our life to teach us the truth, right? So that we can become the women that God created us to be. And our God-given authentic identity is found as we listen to and are led by the Holy Spirit so that the voice of truth becomes louder than the labels others have given us to wear. And I want to ask you a question. Jesus has positioned himself through the Holy Spirit inside of you. And are you positioning yourself to hear Jesus by becoming internally referenced rather than externally referenced? Now, what does it mean to be externally referenced? Well, I know I'm an expert at that because I lived my life that way for years and years and years. To be externally referenced means that I get my worth and value and wisdom from sources outside of me, outside of myself. And that means that I look to others to get my worth and value. It means I'm probably a people pleaser because I really need to control the opinions of others around me so that they will be good, so that I can feel good about myself, right? It means that I look to what is valuable by not what God says, but maybe by what the world says. My address, how much money I have in the bank, that's being externally referenced. If when you need wisdom, you go call everybody in their brother before you pray, Well, that's being externally referenced. You see, Jesus has positioned himself through the Holy Spirit in you. In other words, you're the temple now. There's no, you know, court of women, court of men, temple church. It's you. So he's positioned right there. Are you positioning yourself to hear him by relying completely on the words he says to you? You see, if we are externally referenced, let me just tell you that not everybody's going to love you. Not everybody is going to be God-honoring with the way they treat you. And words from others that carry a religious mindset can create shame in our life and hinder our purpose to shine. So, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about making that transition between when we are externally referenced and when we are internally referenced. And internally referenced, it doesn't mean I depend on my wisdom. It means that I, Jeremiah 33:3, I ask God for wisdom. It means that I don't look to what kind of car I drive, what's in my bank account, what my weight is, my perfection, any of that, what other people say about me to define who I am. I listen to the Holy Spirit. And that's key. And you see, God has freed me from something called codependency. And I know what some of you might be saying. Eileen, codependency is not in the Bible. Lovey, it is. Because you look at scriptures over and over again, go to Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Codependency is depending on people. It's putting people in the place of God. And if we get our worth and value out of what other people say about us, we are worshiping the words of others more than God's. And if you feel like you struggle with this, well, you need to hang with Treasure Ministries, because what my teaching does is tells you how to get free from this. All right. And part of that is becoming internally rather than externally referenced. Okay, so let's read on in the story. And as we're reading on in the story, I want to first just point out how you can recognize a modern day Pharisee. And so as I'm reading this, I want you to just think about some characteristics of these Pharisees and teachers at the law. I'm picking up at verse 3, John 8, verse 3. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of a crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with a woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Jesus spoke to the people once more again and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." All right. Number one, and I've already said this, modern day Pharisees will operate out of an old covenant mindset, which means they look to outside sources to earn their acceptance and love. Number two, a modern-day Pharisee, just like these Pharisees here, will pull others down to prop themselves up. You see, when you operate out of an old covenant mindset, when you look to gain your worth and value out of how well you perform at something, anything, whatever it is, then you will need to be better than other people. And so if you need to be better than other people, you're going to pull other people down. And the truth is that inside this story, the Pharisees were very threatened by Jesus. He was popular, he was gaining attention, and he was completely wrecking and ruining their system that set them apart. And there were other reasons as well. We're not going to go into those. But they were very threatened by Jesus, and they sought to pull him down, to prop themselves up. Number three, modern-day Pharisees are always agenda-driven versus agape-driven. Now, agenda-driven seeks to control others to accomplish an agenda. Agape says, I'm not going to try to control anyone or anything. I'm just here to love you, right? And you can see with this woman was caught in the act of adultery, right? Okay. But the Pharisees had an agenda. They didn't care about her one iota, but not Jesus. He loved her. He still wanted to speak the truth to her, but he did it in love. And see, sometimes a modern day Pharisee will get on their high horse because they think their agenda is righteous. And they will try to control everyone and everything around them to get their purpose accomplished. Do you know somebody in your life that is consistently agenda driven rather than agape driven? They might be a modern day Pharisee. The next thing is that they use shame. And what's really horrible is that a lot of times they may even use scripture, like they did in this passage, to shame. Can you imagine? I bet Jesus was so angry. Can you imagine being that woman? You're ripped from this scene of adultery, so you were obviously, you know, naked. And I wonder if she only had time to like grab the sheet. And there she was thrown amongst the crowd. And while she may have been able to cover her nakedness, there was nothing she could do to cover up the shame. And they sought to shame her. Shaming messages never reflect the heart of God. Never. And you see how Jesus spoke truth to the woman, but he never, ever shamed her. A modern-day Pharisee will always use shame, and unfortunately, sometimes, and it becomes so deceptive because they will quote scripture to do it. The next thing is this, is that they manipulate. They manipulate. The Bible says that they were trying to trap Jesus. So they were trying to do all this to manipulate the circumstance, to trap Jesus. And the reason is that when you are a modern day Pharisee, when you operate out of the old covenant, it means that you have to depend on yourself and others. And you don't depend on God, right? You in pride depend on yourself and others. And when you depend on yourself and others, you want to try to wield and control things. And so often a modern day Pharisee will manipulate. The next thing is that they are blind to their own faults. Now Jesus was getting ready to reveal that to them, but they were blind to their own faults. They think that they do everything right and other people do things wrong. And because of that, they just throw stones all day long. The next thing is this. A modern-day Pharisee will use vulnerabilities and weakness to their advantage. Now, in this passage, this woman was very vulnerable, couldn't be more vulnerable than where this woman was. And they sought out to expose her weakness to push forward their agenda. Two other points on this that I want to make. And one is that these Pharisees, they knew the Bible. They quoted scripture. They were probably very knowledgeable about the Bible, in fact, or in the scriptures. The Bible wasn't even on the scene at this time, but the Torah law, they knew it. I mean, they were like lawyers. And here's what I want to say to you. Just because somebody has a vast amount of Bible knowledge doesn't mean that you automatically trust their words. Truth comes from a source, and the source is Jesus. In fact, I will tell you, you may not agree with everything I do. I want to tell you that I pray when I prepare my message all day Tuesday and I look for the truth, and it is my heart to bring you truth, but I'm a human and I may fail in that. And so I will always tell you, check out everything that I tell you against God's word. And I'm fine with that. I'm not going to get it right every time. It's my heart to. I pray through. I go before God so I can do that. But you know what? It doesn't matter. If somebody knows the Bible backwards and forwards and they can quote scripture, they can still be wrong. And so sometimes I think that if somebody like knows their Bible, that we automatically think whatever they say is 100% completely right. And if someone has that air about them, like they are better than you because they went to seminary school and they know all this stuff. And let me tell you, I will tell you right here and now that the reason why my husband and I chose the church that we're in is because of the pastor's dedication to teach the truth. And just the importance that they have on studying the scriptures before they teach them. So I think Bible knowledge, Bible literacy, I think that's a really important piece. But it doesn't mean that that person is God. It doesn't mean it. And the second thing that I want to say is this. These people had a title, right? They were Pharisees. And just because somebody has a title doesn't mean that you give them your automatic trust. It just doesn't mean that. And the reason why this is important is because as we've been looking through, as we've been walking through this series and looking through the different passages where Jesus interacts with women, you will see three things. You will always see Jesus's great love for women displayed in his actions. Number one. So you cannot make any mistake. God loves women. That's just it. End of sentence. And because God greatly values women, you can value yourself. Number two, you will always see these really courageous, cool women that persist in listening to and being led by Jesus. And number three, not in every single passage, but really in 90% of the passages that I'm going to teach on in this series, there's always somebody with a title, whether it was a disciple, or a Pharisee, or a Sadducee, or a teacher of the law, that with a religious mindset that tries to intercept the ministry that Jesus had to that particular woman. You will see it in every passage. And the reason why this is very important to point out, and that Bible knowledge does not make a good leader, and that a title does not mean that we automatically give somebody our trust, is because I cannot tell you the number of women that I've talked to that have been hurt by church leadership. And when that happens to you, funky monkey starts going on, because we can confuse who God is with this leader, right? Because if this leader like knows scripture backwards and forwards, and he is the pastor of this ginormous church, well, then he must be right. And this must be how God feels about me, right? I've talked to so many women where that's happened, and let me tell you something, it's happened to me. The greatest hurt that I ever experienced happened through church leadership. And the reason why the hurt was great is because my expectations on church leadership were higher. Now I know, they're all just human, right? And the point is, don't you ever let the way a false shepherd treated you define who your good shepherd is. Don't ever let that happen, because it's just not true. You want to look at what God thinks of women and how Jesus treated women? Go look in the Bible. Look in the Bible. All right, I digress. All right, so that's how you can kind of recognize a modern-day Pharisee. And you know what? We can recognize modern-day Pharisees all day long, but the truth is that even when they hurl words at us or say things about us or shame us, it's hard to shake, isn't it? And here's the thing. We've got to make a decision. Am I going to be externally referenced or internally referenced? Because you see, when a woman becomes internally referenced by relying on the Holy Spirit, instead of reacting to the judgment, we will now find words of truth that allow us to respond and rise up to become the woman that God created us to be. You see, your God-given authentic identity is found in one place as you listen to and are led by the Holy Spirit so that the voice of truth becomes louder than the labels others have given you to wear. And so right now in our story, these Pharisees have like slapped all these labels on this woman, right? Okay. And then they're asking for Jesus's judgment, right? Now she could have reacted to this. She could have started to defend herself, which I bet you she couldn't even speak. She was probably so humiliated and afraid. But that's how I do. I mean, a lot of times I want to just fight, right? Like I want to defend myself. I want to prove that person wrong. I want to tell them all the reasons why they're wrong and that they, you know. But reacting, when we react that way, you know, or sometimes, you know, I just want to pick up a stone and hurl it back at them. You know, just throw some ugly words back at them, right? Just get on their level, right? And you know what? There's nothing wrong with feeling that way. But when you allow those feelings to direct your actions, what happens is that your offender has control. Did you hear me? When we react to a modern-day Pharisee's judgment instead of responding to the truth of the Holy Spirit about who God says we are, the Pharisee has control over our lives and not the Holy Spirit. And we don't want that. We don't want that. So how did this woman respond? And how do we let Jesus, how do we respond to truth? Okay, well, the first thing that we see, you know, we really let Jesus take control. We really, you know, press into the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that we see is that Jesus set a boundary, that he stepped in between the woman and the Pharisees. He stepped in. We don't, it's not like he built this permanent wall, like you guys will never be reconciled, but he stepped in the way. And he stepped in the way so that the woman would no longer be hurt, but also because guess what? Jesus loved the Pharisees. I know, because when I have a modern day Pharisee, you know, those people are hard to love, right? But Jesus loved those Pharisees and he wanted them to see what they were doing. And in order for them to see, he had to step in the way to create this space and pause. You see, boundaries are not unloving. Boundaries sometimes are the most loving thing that we can do. And when we're led by the Lord, in other words, we see Jesus as the gatekeeper of our heart. And if Jesus says, you know what, you need a little space between this person. And it doesn't mean that then we go and announce to that person, you know what? You're a modern-day Pharisee, right? I don't need to hang with you. We don't do that. We just let Jesus set the boundary for us, meaning we don't feel ashamed. We don't take that shame on us, and we give it some space and some time. That's the first thing. The second thing is to let Jesus defend you now. I know. You would want to pick up a stone, I would too, and hurl it back at those Pharisees or say something in your defense. And sometimes the Holy Spirit can prompt us to speak up. I'm not saying. And you know what? Following Jesus, following the Holy Spirit, you know, we want like this prescription. We want this list, this checklist to follow. And it's just not that way. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit may tell you to speak up and say words, but oftentimes, I'll tell you what God tells to me. Eileen, you know your worth and value. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to say a word. You need to feel sorry for this person. In fact, you know what God has been telling me recently? You need to see those Pharisees in your life. The pain that they cause. And just the pests that they are. You need to see them as the very source that's made you a pearl. In other words, when people rub up against, like when we experience flawed people, it brings us into the arms of Jesus and we begin to see that he is the only one worthy of our worship and to give our whole hearts to. And that people are flawed. People are people. They're flawed. And the very experience, I mean, this very experience, this horrible experience this woman has gone through was the very thing that drove her closer to Jesus. And sometimes we want God to deliver us from a certain person in our life. Gosh, I could pray that now about somebody. But often, the delivery is in the irritation, the sand that rubs up against you as it brings you closer to the Father's heart and you become the woman that God created you to be. And part of that is letting Jesus defend you. The woman, and here's number three, the woman leaned in and she listened to Jesus. In other words, she didn't, you know, Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" And you know what? You know who else? What else can be a modern day Pharisee? Are those ridiculous voices in our head that shame us all day long. And we've got to get in close with Jesus. And every day, I mean, I need his words of affirmation over my life every single day. Not ashamed to admit it. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, maybe you need to be loved too much. I don't know, call me crazy. I guess I'm just human. Made for that need of love and acceptance that psychologists say are as important as water and food, right? And God gave me that need so that I would find him. And in the morning, in my quiet time, nourishing my heart with who Jesus says I am, allows me to go out and love others and not respond when I'm hurt. In a way that doesn't honor God, right? In a lost and dying world. And once we lean in and listen to Jesus, then we need to agree with those words, right? Like, that's what will stop all the, as Stephen Furtick says, the chatterbox in your head. It's when you agree with Jesus. The next thing is this, number four, forgive. And the way that we forgive is by releasing others to receive from God. Now, verse 12 says this, "You will have the light that leads to life." In other words, Jesus is my source of life. Jesus is my redeemer. And if these Pharisees, look at what they stole from this woman, her reputation, her dignity, all of those things. And she had every right, in my not-so-humble opinion, to pick up that stone and just hurl it at their face. In fact, when I read this, I just want to say, what a bunch of jerks, right? But that doesn't solve things. It might make you feel good in the instant. But the Bible tells us that vengeance is the Lord. You let God handle those accusers in your life. Here's what a friend of mine once told me, especially about Pharisees, that the way they treat others, that's between the Pharisees and God. But when I respond with bitterness, hate, and anger, it now becomes my problem. And when you release others, it opens up your hands to receive life from God. And forgiveness is not saying what they did was okay. It's not saying that you're going to trust them again. You need to be BFFs. It is saying, you know what? I'm going to release this situation to God so that I can receive from God. So you're going to forgive. And then the next thing that you're going to do is you're going to redirect your focus. And that's what Jesus did with this woman. I mean, can you just imagine? He got her attention, right? And here they are having this conversation. And she says, "Where are your accusers?" Jesus says, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." You see, we can spend a lot of energy trying to defend ourselves and getting back at people, and or we can just take all that energy and use it to go in the direction of our purpose. You see, Jesus' words bring freedom from shame and have the power to allow us to shine as all other words fall at his feet. Inside of this story, we see that Jesus' words, just the mere him standing in between the woman and her accusers, have the power to stop words that feel like stone. Number one. Number two, Jesus's words have the power to bring us out of the darkness of shame. 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have light that leads to life. Now, that means that we have wisdom. That means that we don't have to walk into the darkness of the power of sin. But I think it also means shame. There's no, when you think of shame, you just think of hiding and darkness. And the Bible says that when we trust in Jesus, we will never be put to shame. But we have to trust him. We have to trust him. And his words to us, when they carry the most weight in my life, that's when his words will have that power to break the shame in our life. There will always be hurtful words that people will say about you. Always. We can't stop that. But we can choose what source, what words matter the most. And Jesus's words also give me the power to shine. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are fragile clay jars. Whoops, we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. My flawed reading of that. I'm just like a fragile clay jar, right? Containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about the gospel message. In other words, the light of Jesus Christ within me by grace. And this allows me to shine. It allows me to shine amidst and among the flaws and the cracks in my life. And it's not really me who's doing the shining anyway. It's Jesus through me. All right. So what are three ways we can put this into practice? Number one, discover the Nourish Bible Study Method. Now, I'm not saying that just because I created it. I'm saying that this Bible study gives you a new covenant approach to studying the Bible. And there are many other Bible study methods out there that you could also do this with. And if you don't do it with Nourish, that's fine. Just find one that works. But in order for truth to lead us, we have to position ourselves to hear that truth. And inside of the Nourish Bible Study Method, one of the things that we do is we ask you to find a core authentic identity. As you're looking at the Word, we ask you to highlight one of those truths. And so what you can do is you can go to www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com and you can sign up for our 21-day challenge. It's a completely free resource. And inside of the 21-day challenge, you can skip straight to the lesson on core authentic identity and watch it. You see, nothing is more powerful in really being able to love others than receiving your core authentic identity. And our God-given core authentic identity is found as we listen to and are led by the Holy Spirit so that the voice of truth becomes louder. And the way it becomes louder is as we position ourselves to be taught by the King of Kings, by the Rabbi of all rabbis, Jesus himself. So number one, learn about the Nourish Bible Study Method and start to spend time in the Word. Number two, when somebody throws a stone at you, I want you to pause. And if you become angry, that's okay. Because anger is like your engine light that a boundary has been broken. But just don't react in that anger. And I want you to ask yourself, am I reacting to what others say or am I responding to the truth? Ask Jesus. What is the truth in this situation? Jeremiah 33:3 says that when we cry out to him, that he will tell us. I'm going to get that exact scripture because I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not doing a very good job of that here. Okay, Jeremiah 33:3. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come. Cry out to God and say, what is the truth in this situation? And make sure you give yourself a chance to pause. Like Jesus kind of hit pause, right? When he stepped in between the Pharisees and the woman, right? So pause Don't react out of your anger. Ask Jesus and align yourself to the truth. And the way that you align is by agreeing with the truth. Okay? And number three. So the first thing was go to www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com and dive into that Nourish Bible Study Method. Specifically, watch the video on core authentic identity. It's a free resource. Number two is to ask Jesus for the truth when somebody throws a stone at you. And the truth is, you know, Jesus, sometimes people may throw stones at you, and there could be truth in that. Like, there was truth in the fact that this woman was caught in adultery. And Jesus didn't want her to continue to live that way because he wanted something like even better for her, okay? And so we can ask God, and there may be truth in that situation, right? But we need to hear the truth from Jesus alone. Number three is this, take the speck out of your own eye. Now, the reason why I say this is because all of us have, every single Christian out there, we all have the potential to become a modern day Pharisee. And when you're reading chapters like this, doesn't it make you just never, ever want to be that person that judges and is critical? And Jesus tells us how to do that. He says to take the speck out of our eye. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why do you worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? And how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Now, how do we take the speck out of our own eye? Well, I'll tell you a good way to do that. Get out a sheet of paper, and if there's someone that's driving you batty, create a list. Like two lists. And on one side of the list, write down your flaws. You know, write down the things about you that are not all that in a bag of chips. And on the other side, with that person that's driving you nuts, write everything that is good about them. Now, and this will give you perspective. It will give you perspective that we all need grace. You know, and that Jesus's idea of the church and of relationship is not a bunch of perfect people walking around, but that we're all broken together, right? And it allows you to see. You don't want to become blind to your own faults, because when you see your flaws, you see how much you need grace. And the more grace you can breathe in for yourself, the more you'll be able to give it out to others. And everybody has good things that we can say about them, right? Now, if Jesus has drawn a very clear boundary with somebody and it is an unhealthy friendship, an unhealthy situation, then you need to respect that boundary. But I am saying that taking the plank out of your own eye is powerful, because it allows you to have relationship, authentic relationship, and to let go of this need of perfection. And so that is the podcast for today. Remember, when you face a Pharisee, don't you ever let them steal your sparkle. Because if we are externally referenced, the words from modern day Pharisees, because they have a religious mindset, can create shame and hinder our purpose. But when we rely on the Holy Spirit, we become internally referenced. And then instead of reacting to judgment, we find words of truth to respond and rise up. You see, Jesus' words bring freedom from shame and give us the power to shine, to become all that God has created us to be. And our God-given authentic identity is found as we listen to and are led by the Holy Spirit, so that the voice of truth becomes much louder than the labels that others have given you to wear. Thanks so much for listening in. I want to challenge you to shine on and shine on. Catch you next time. Thanks so much, everybody. Bye-bye.